Our call to worship this morning. Psalm 71, verse 22 to 24a. I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. And I will sing praise to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you.
Today. You know, when I first met you, you said you've been coming since November. And I'm going, I was here in November.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing you. And so anyway, you know, we must have went different ways or something, but it's good to have you here and good to see you as well. And what happened to these people here?
I was just wondering that.
There's no one in this section. Well, Dave, you are. You're a brave one. You're in the front row. And Elmer and Norma usually are in this pew here. So. But it's good to have everybody here today. There's a number of announcements that we trust that you will read this. That's why we do this every week. It's for you to read them, and I just kind of pick out some to let you know what's happening. But I do know that there's someone here that would like to give an announcement. Angie Legart is one that, go ahead, Angie, give your announcement.
Yes, we are going to plan a Sunday brunch on Sunday, March 27th. It will be a free will donation, and the money will go to support missions. And we are calling this the Mystery Brunch. Maybe a better title would be, Guess Who You're Going to See. So we would like everybody to please sign up. There's a sign up list on the shelf there right by in front of Charlie's office. So we get a head count, and we hope the fellowship hall is full. And if it is, we might be calling on some volunteers to help supply some of the. So please sign up. And if you know of any snowbirds that will be back by then, reach out to them and see if they would be able to come to you.
One of the secrets to this is getting to know one another a little bit better than what we do. Because sometimes those that's on this side don't know the people on that side. Those of you on this side don't know people on this side. Well, one way to do that is we're going to have you pick numbers. And you go to that table. And you don't know who else is going to show up at that table. And so we'll have some questions that you can talk about different things with one another. And then there will be a egg bank is what Dean is putting together, something like that. So it all comes back to me now.
Tim, you know, I think it's being underwritten by Farmers Bank.
Is it? Underwritten by the Farmers Bank?
Yeah, right. I thought I heard that.
In just a little bit, I want to interview Dave Reef, as he's the one that's kind of in charge, or he's got the real vision for the Blessing Box, which is better known. Sometimes we call it the food pantry that we're going to have attached to the south side of the church here. But before I have you come up here, Dave, just hold tight there, and I'll just go through some of the announcements. So I want to make sure that everybody. Gets to hear about. Wednesday night, just keep this in mind that there's going to be a potluck at 5 o'clock. It's a potluck, a supper potluck. That means you bring something. And then at 6 o'clock, we will have our Lenten service, which is, again, you get the Bob's put together 30 different songs. You pick up a folder as you come in. And the first one to kind of shout out which song you want to have sung that night. That's what we do. We do about 3 or 4 of them, I believe. And so
You gotta be quick.
Yep. Real quick. And so we hope that you can come to that. And we're just moving on with the next. The theme is the trial of Jesus. And so last week it was the conspiracy. Who are the people involved in trying to want to get their hands on Jesus and have him killed? We talked about that. This Wednesday it's going to be the arrest. How the arrest took place or who's a part of that arresting Jesus and why, all those kinds of things. So I hope that you'll be able to come for that. It's a shorter service and we're done about it in 45 minutes. We start at 6 o'clock, we're done by 6:45 type of thing. And you hope you can be a part of that. Thursday we start up our Bible study with those of you that want to be part of Lunch of the Bunch. It starts at noon on Thursday, goes to 1 o'clock. I lead a Bible study that we look at the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Very short book, and we'll find out that it wasn't a whale that swallowed Jonah. It just says a big fish. So it was not a sunfish. It was something bigger than that. So if you want to come to that, you are more than welcome to do so this coming Thursday. The ladies have something planned on March 22nd. They'll start their women's Bible study. That's on Tuesday during the week. Is that at 9:30, Pat?
Yes.
9:30. And if you want a Bible study book that goes with it, please sign up today. And that's $17 for that book. But they need to know today if you're going to be a part of that so that they can have the books on hand for you come that day on March 22nd. And then on the 23rd, the day after that, the ladies, if you're not tired of one another because of the Bible study, you get to come together again, and you're going to go to a restaurant, Mariachi's, a Mexican place, to meet there for lunch. And there again, if you would sign up, that would be helpful because they want to know how many are coming, how many set up for table-wise and chairs. But if you don't sign up and you still want to come, they won't turn you away. So if you don't know what your schedule is like, well, you're going to say, like, I still would like to go, but it all depends if this happens or that happens, and you still want to go, please show up. And it'll be a great time as it has been in the past. And then you also notice the prayer requests that we have. There are a number of people that are mindful of, that to be in prayer for, a lot of different issues that are going on in people's lives there. And one thing with volunteers, we need some volunteers for, if you want to be a Sunday morning greeter. Now, it's a good way to learn the names of the people who come through the doors. That's to be a greeter. You're forced then to go like, so, and what is your name? Or forgive me, I can't think of your name right now. My name is Tom. This is my wife, Karen. You know, it's just a good way to do that. And anybody can be a greeter. Unless you really hate people, then don't be a greeter. But if you want to be a greeter, please sign up so we know who you are. And you don't have to do it every Sunday. It's just, we have a rotation kind of a thing. It might only be, you know, depends on how many greeters sign up, but it could be just two times a year type of a thing. But it would be a great way to find out the names of people and a little bit about them. And the other thing I just was going to talk about is that we do have our new church directory. So if you would like to see our church directory, and that's another good way to look at the faces of people and see who they are, the names, you can learn that as well. It turned out really well. And make sure you look at Bryce's picture. Bryce, it's a great shot. And you're not a convict. But I'm glad you had your picture taken and put in the directory. So, I'm going to call on Dave Reef to come on up here. Dave, come on up here. I'm going to interview you about this food pantry that is being, I think it's probably already built, right? Yeah, I'll give you the mic.
It's not quite yet. We're in close.
What's left?
Mounting the doors onto the, okay, we haven't put hardware on yet. Okay. And there's a lot of other things.
But we're close.
We're getting close. So not this week, but the following week, you'll be ready to mount on the side of the church.
Okay. Why don't you tell us, Dave, a little bit how this came to be? You know what? Why is this such a big part of your life of going like, we need a food pantry or a blessing box on the church?
Well, about 5 years ago, I was still working, of course, and I just recently retired. I thought it'd be kind of a neat thing to do once I retire, to start as some sort of food pantry. And I got the idea, I saw a national news piece, and they were talking about this kind of blessing box or food pantry on the East Coast. A lot of churches on the East Coast were starting this up. And so I thought that'd be kind of a neat thing wherever, and we knew we were gonna retire around here, so wherever we decided to pick up a church,
We're glad you came here. We are really glad you're here.
We did some church shopping and we thought this was the best. So, anyway, not putting out any other churches, you know, but gotta be careful. But this, there's a need for this community as well to have it. I was talking with Dennis. Is it Kelly?
Kelly,
is I'm saying that right? I'm sure it is. Anyway, when he was teaching, he said that a lot of the kids in the schools would be take advantage of the lunch program, and then sometimes they wouldn't have a lot of food, so they'd give lunches to take home so they could eat at night. And so I'm sure that there's going to be a need for the community to, in this area, and maybe just some of the surrounding areas around here too, where they're going to need the food. And I just think that God was calling me to do this, and I thought it'd be a neat thing to do. And not only building it, but also I want to stock it every day. There'll be a few times where I won't be able to stock it. I'll look for a few volunteers to fill in case we decide to go out of town or something. So.
Okay. I got a question for Sarah, your wife.
Sarah, come on in.
Sarah, no, you stay there. You stay there.
Don't embarrass her.
I just want to know that when he gets something on his mind, he doesn't let go of it, does he? That's all I know. So, Dave, how's this going to work, this blessing box?
So, once we have it up, then I think we're going to get a hold of the Lakes News Shopper and then maybe have them talk to us and just we can get the word out.
Okay.
And then once the word's out, I think it's going to, I think it'll be emptied out every day personally. So I think what I plan on doing about mid-morning every day, coming in here, restocking the pantry and... And then at the end of the week, I'll find out what items are going faster than others. There might be some stuff that are just sitting on the shelf in there. We'll concentrate on the stuff that they want more of. And then I'll let Charlie know at the end of the week so she can put in the bulletin to say, here, we need more, say, macaroni and cheese, or we need more applesauce, or dried milk. That's another thing.
Because there's a list.
There's a list in the bulletin there you can look at. And you can start bringing any of your items anytime. There's a closet back here. I set up some shelves. I brought in some shelves, and it's about 3/4 of the way full already, which is a good start. But we got to keep replenishing it each week, because I think it will go quickly once the word is out. I really believe it's going to empty out.
I got to say a little something about Dave. When he does something, he wants to do it right. And so when it comes to the doors of the food pantry, he thought that the plexiglass was too thin. So he got some really thick plexiglass.
1/4 inch. It's actually going to be glass now, because they said the plexiglass could shatter all over the place if somebody threw a brick in it, because there might be some animals out there. We just don't know. The next thing is there's a police car over here all the time. Maybe if they see right on that corner there of that building, that they may think, well, maybe I shouldn't do it today. But this glass is, if they threw a brick to it, it just shatters from within, and no pieces are supposed to come out. But I wanted to go 1/4 inch as opposed to 1/8 inch, just because it would be safer that way.
Yeah. And Dave has gone to the City Hall of Milford to find out about where you can put this. We can't put it alongside the street on, you know, dig it down and post, because there's some ordinance that a sign has to be so many feet away from the building.
25 feet.
Yep. And so he's found this all out, and that's why it's got to be attached to the south side of the church. And it'll be close to where he got the library box that's there. And so it's one of these things that we don't know how it's going to go, but we believe that in the time of inflation, things that are going on, that, you know, it might be empty. Somebody might come and clean it all out for themselves. I mean, we don't know. But I'm glad that Dave is going to be restocking it and coming by and looking at it. And if he's gone, I told him that I would be more than glad to help out with that as well.
That'd be great. The other thing about this is that I'm not aware of any other kind of food pantry or boxes like this where they can get it anytime they want. It's going to be open basically to the public 24/7. And what it'll do also, it'll take the embarrassment. Some may be embarrassed about going to a food pantry, or maybe it's a pride factor. They can pull up at 2 in the morning and get what they want and get on their way and not feel embarrassed about it at the same time. So I thought that would be also another nice thing, is just truly to help out folks in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Anything else you want to say, Dave?
No, I think we've got to get the service going. I'm sorry. We're back at you.
Well, thank you, Dave, very much. These words will be put on that blessing box. It says here, have a blessing, leave it. Which means, if you go to the store and you just want to give something, and there's room in the blessing box, you can put it in yourself. You may not have to come into church if you don't want to. But then it says, need a blessing, take it. So we're just inviting people, you know, take what you need, and then above all, be blessed. You know, it's just a way that we just want to help people in the community, and hoping that if they see this and they take part in it, that maybe eventually somewhere along the way they'll say, I'd like to get to know the people that are a part of this church, because you don't know how much it has helped myself or the family or whatever it is, and kind of be a part of the church as well. Dave.
Well, one thing I got to give credit to my daughter Emily, who might be listening to this streaming through on this broadcast today, but Emily, she's painting the sign as we speak. She's a really good artist, and it'll be ready by this Saturday. But she's going to have a nice little design on it, and it'll have this logo on here, the painted in the word, and going to paint it with the sailboat on there and on the left side, and then you'll have a big blessing box in the center with the have a blessing, give a blessing, above all, we bless. And then she wanted to put a lighthouse on the right side. Mm-hmm. With water connected
it
down below.
Sure. Oh, that's their daughter that is going to be doing this. So it's going to be great.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily, very much. And let's just have a word of prayer before we turn it back over to the praise band. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought to us this family. just Dave and Sarah, and just the spunk that Dave has to get something going and to do that is really mission-minded in a lot of ways, and yet it just fires us up too as a people, a part of Harbor of Joy, that we just pray a blessing upon the construction and what is being done. Thank you for Denny Kelly for helping Dave and all of this as well. And as it comes together, we pray for those that will be using it and that will hear about it, that it will truly be an extension of the arms of Jesus and his hands into the lives of these people that find that it's a great need that was met because we as a church have given them the open arms to say, hey, if you need it, this is why it's here. Please use it. And so, Lord, too, we just also lift up before you to everyone that is in the prayer requests of the bulletin today, all the different kinds of needs that are there. You know, if it's just for strength and to the return of life being normal, but it's not easy when you have a lot of difficulties taking place in one's life. And so we just lift up these people, knowing that your presence is there with them. May they rely on you during these days and the days ahead, that you will give to them what is needed, and that they will rely on you in every way. And so we just thank you for everyone that has come today. Use this service in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
And all the people said,
amen. Amen.
Place to stand. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
The Lord is gracious like this. Our God is full of compassion.
Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
I will lift up a cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Oh,
to us from Luke chapter 13, 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Heavenly Father, these are your words. These are things that actually happened in history. And help us, Lord, to walk in the sandals of those that were there at this point in time in history. May we do that here today. Make it real to us. Make it come alive, your word, and use it through your Holy Spirit to bring us closer to Jesus, your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Are the Pharisees who came up to Jesus that day, are they really sincere in what they're saying to him? Are they really sincere? Did the Pharisees really fear for Jesus' life and want to warn him about Herod's intentions and, you know, get out of here, leave? Herod wants to kill you. Now, it sounds like a pretty good death threat to me. How about you? Jesus said to them that he was not going to leave. No matter what they said or what may happen, he knew why he was there and what he needed to do. And nothing was going to change his mind. Even a death threat. You know, fear is a very powerful thing. Fear can make a person lose their common sense. I think of the two of the 12 spies that were told to go and check out the land, the promised land, and then come back and report what they see and what they find out, which they did. And when they came back, there's only two out of the 12. It was Joshua and Caleb who said, "The Lord said that we're to take that land, let's go." And the other 10 said, "Wait a minute, the walls are too fortified, the people are huge. You know, it's a good land, but there's no way that we can conquer it." And the fear of those 10 grabbed the hearts of the others, and they did not go. And you find that the consequences of that is that only Joshua and Caleb, they actually saw the promised land and went over on the other side of the Jordan River. The rest perished in the wilderness or in the desert. And it's all because they trusted what God's word said to them. And God always honors people who trust his word and don't try to change it into something else. So the person who acknowledges fear and continues to do the right thing, as we think of Joshua and Caleb, there's other examples we could give in the scriptures, that those who continue to do the right thing, and they go against the mainstream or the flow of the main flow of what the people want, they then are considered brave and they have courage. So what does Jesus do when he receives this word from the Pharisees that he is to get out of town because someone wants to kill him? The first thing is that Jesus wasn't going to be distracted from his mission. And it's interesting that he refers to Herod as the fox. You know, there's something of Jesus doesn't do that very often, where he actually calls somebody a name. You tell that fox. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna continue to do what I have done in the past. Heal people. Those that are possessed by demons, I'm going to set them free. And I'm going to just keep doing what I've always done. And I'm not going to have that fox chase me away. So what is a characteristic of a fox? Anybody know what some of the characteristics are?
Sneaky.
Sneaky, yes, they are sneaky. And so you think of the characteristics of a fox, this is what we learned. We learned a little something about who Herod is. They're sneaky, they're sly, they're cunning, they're tricky, they're wary, they're unpredictable. Fox are all those things. And sometimes they're even very bold. If they do one thing and nothing happens, they get a little bit more, daring. A little bit more courage. For instance, if they're going to get a chicken out of a chicken coop, they might wait a ways away in some kind of bushes for the chickens to come out in the morning, and they just have a chicken dinner right there and take them off to the den. But if nothing happens to them, they'll wait up right by the door. Or they'll go inside of the chicken coop and grab a chicken and take it out. And I know that because we had chickens growing up. And my dad would go like, seems like we got some chickens missing. And we go like, well, I have no idea. So he said, there must be a fox around. And so he'd get up very early when it was still dark, take the .22 and go up on top of the hay bale stack and wait to see if there'd be a fox that would show up. Or he'd go up into the hip roof barn, there's a little window way up on top, and he'd kind of look out there and wait for that fox to come, and he'd hope that he'd kind of get it. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But he said, yep, there is a fox, because we got some missing chickens. And so, if you remember, right, Herod's father, who was that? Herod the Great. Herod the Great tried to kill Jesus when he was just a baby. Remember in Bethlehem? Found out from the Magi, when did they see the star? And so he sent his soldiers down to Bethlehem. Any male child that was 2 years old or younger, they were to kill. And so he's hoping to kill the Savior, the Christ child. And of course the angels warned Joseph and Mary to take the child and go to Egypt, which they did. So what we find here is that because Herod, his dad is Herod the Great, that saying that we once hear, it's like, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. We find that here with Herod Antipas. It's his name, Herod Antipas. So Herod was responsible. Herod Antipas was responsible for the murder of John the Baptist. Thinking that for a little while. It was him who said, because of Herodias' daughter, who danced, I want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. And so Herod had them carry that out because he didn't want to look bad in front of all of the celebrities and the people, his friends that came to that big celebration that was going on there. And so he heard about Jesus, this man called Jesus, who was out healing people and preaching and doing great things. Herod Antipas thought that this was John the Baptist who's come back from the dead. And so he's got a conscience. He's kind of concerned that, hey, John the Baptist is coming back from the dead, and I killed him. And he got that confused with who Jesus really was, but it really convicted Herod Antipas. So Jesus says, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. No prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Now, does that sound like someone who is afraid? And I'd say, no. Jesus was not afraid. He wasn't going to chase a rabbit and go this way and then that way. He was dead on and thinking that this is my mission, this is what I came to do, and I'm going to do the will of my Father. Remember that Jesus had to contend with Sadducees and Pharisees. These are two religious groups that were always after Jesus, trying to trap him in his statements, and hopefully they could turn something on him, which they never could do, because when Jesus would talk about a parable, these guys knew that the parable was intended for them, for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they didn't like it. They didn't like Jesus, because he always turned the tables on them. And so what we find here is that the Sadducees and Pharisees, they wanted to kill Jesus more than Herod did. They wanted to get their hands on him. The second point this morning is Jesus' love is never sidetracked. He knows that he must go to Jerusalem, and anytime you see where it says things twice, it is something to take notice of. Here it says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." You've heard it where it says, "Oh, Martha, Martha." You know, and anytime things is repeated twice, there's something you've got to pay attention to why he does that. There's an emphasis that's put on either that place or that person. And so here it's Jerusalem, because he says, "You," speaking of Jerusalem, "you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. You're not willing to come." And so Jesus knows the history of the religious leaders in Jerusalem over the centuries. He knows that whenever God had sent a prophet to them, they never listened to the prophet. Many of them, they would stone them, they would kill them, but they had no place. There was no place in their lives for the person that God had sent to them. And so Jesus expresses his deep love for Jerusalem, and he uses that analogy of a hen who gathers her chicks under her wings. And he longs to bring people to repentance and faith. That's really what he loves to see happen, that people come to believe in him and repent of their sins and to believe in who he is. The people that would not come to him, I would say that there is nothing that hurts more than to be rejected. Now think about any time in your life where you have been rejected by someone and how you felt, kind of what that did to you. It's not a warm fuzzy, that's for sure. Nothing hurts more than to offer your love and then to have it ignored or to be thrown on the side and stepped on by somebody. Hurts. You don't get over that. Nothing hurts more than to give your heart to someone only to have it broken. And some of you have gone through this. It's taken place in your life somewhere along the way. And it's something you never ever forget. You're glad that you've been able to talk to the Lord about it. You ask the Lord to help you to hate the person, not to want to get some kind of vengeance back. But just say, "Lord, I just need your help because I know I'm going to be around this person, or if I see them or if I think about them, there's a lot of thoughts that are pretty ungodly. I wouldn't want anyone to know the way that I think, what goes on in my mind." It hurts. And Jesus is saying, "I've come, I've got to go to Jerusalem," and he wants to gather the children. He wants to gather the people, but he wants them to come to repent of their sins and to place their faith in him. Some did. It's very few. So it kind of brings you to the conclusion here of the message, that once a fox gets the taste of a chicken, he or she will always come back to kill another chicken. There's another chicken dinner waiting. Every time you hear the gospel and refuse to come to Jesus, you're like a fox. You hear it, but you do not respond to it. It reminds me of a true thing that happened. A number of years ago, there was a pheasant with a brood of chicks that were caught in a grass fire. The chicks became frightened by the smoke, the sparks, and the roaring of the fire because it's pushed by the wind. And it was going so fast that there's no way for them to escape. But these little chicks, they ran to the mama pheasant. The mama pheasant found her little chicks, and she opened up her wings, and all these little chicks came underneath their mama, and she sat down on them as the fire came and swept over them. You know what happened. The fire came and engulfed the pheasant and her chicks. And shortly after that, a man was walking in that area that had been burnt off. And he came to a place where there was just a little black mound that was still smoldering with some smoke. And he gently took his shoe and he kind of kicked over that little black mound that was smoldering. And to his surprise, out came all the little bright yellow and black little chicks. They were alive. But the mother was burnt to a crisp. And she gave her life for her little chicks. Jesus did all that he could do by laying down his life to save you from your sins. And he went to the cross. The cross is where you and I should have been crucified. Because we're the guilty ones. We're the sinners. Jesus is sinless. And yet he goes to the cross to die because he loves each one of us. And he laid down his life for us and took the punishment that was ours upon himself, so that we may be forgiven and have eternal life. We must be willing to come to Jesus by faith. We must be willing. And to say, will you come today? Is God speaking to your heart today for you to come and to receive from him the forgiveness because of what his son has done for you? Are you willing? It's an opportunity to come to Jesus today, whereby you can be under his wings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. You love the people in Jerusalem as many other places. You sent John the Baptist to warn people of the coming of your kingdom, and that they needed to get right with you, and therefore they needed to confess their sins and then be baptized in the Jordan. But no matter who you sent, even the prophets of old, you knew that the people were very stiff-necked and very stubborn, very prideful. And they always could say, I can do it myself. I don't need help from anybody. I don't need to hear anybody like Billy Graham in my life. I can turn the TV off. I can turn the radio off. I don't have to listen to someone who's preaching about the good news of eternal life and the mentioning of sin and how we need to be forgiven of the sin. Lord, for so many times we are like the people in Jerusalem. We hear, but we don't like to hear it. And therefore we just either close our ears or we run the other way. Lord, help us today to be willing to come to you. Just as those little pheasant chicks came to their mom because there was no other place for them to go to. There's no other place for us to go to either other than to Jesus Christ with our sins. Where we will find his love, we will find his forgiveness, we will find the hope that he gives in eternal life by just coming to him, trusting and believing in who he is. He's done everything else for us. So may today be that day that we come to Jesus, if we have not already. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. This creed tells us what we need to believe as Christians. And it's all of it. It's something that's put together centuries ago. But it really is to show us what is really, Christian faith is really all about, what it includes. Let's say it together. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together as well. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The benediction today I want to read to you from Psalm 91, verse 4. It says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Amen.